Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The lessons for today then, they set out the difference between joy and sorrow, life and death, blessing and curse. And we read about this in the Old Testament lesson where Jeremiah says, blessed is the one, cursed is the one. The psalm comes along, blessed is the one, cursed is the one. The epistle lesson tells what the difference comes from. That Jesus bore the curse on the cross, that Jesus rose from the dead to give the blessing. The gospel lesson goes back to Jesus talking about blessings and curses. If you want to do a little bit of Bible study, let's see, it's Deuteronomy chapter 28. 28 is like the last chapter of Matthew. So Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about blessings and curses in huge detail. Down to, and if you will not follow the Lord, then cursed is your kneading trough, where you mix the flour and the water and other ingredients together and knead it to make bread. A curse on that? And if you will follow the Lord, then blessed is your kneading trough. That's how detailed it is. Everywhere you turn in life, there is either the blessings or the curses, and it depends on your relationship with God. But if you were to read certain parts of the Bible without knowing how it gets there, you might have the idea that if I keep the commandments, then I get the blessings. And that's not how it works. And a great lesson for that, a great chapter to illustrate that is Isaiah 6. He gives the before and after picture. Before and after. So, I told you we'd end up in Isaiah chapter 6, didn't I? Didn't take very long, did it? So, Isaiah chapter 6, and here we go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So even the angels, even the seraphim, cover their faces, cover their feet in the presence of the holiness of God. And why is this? Here comes a little study on holiness. There are layers of this. Layers of holiness. So the holiness of God, number one, the holiness of God is that he is without sin, without evil. He is holy in that way. That's holiness. The holiness of God is also that his holiness is way above that of the angels. And while the angels may be holy, God is the source of holiness. And everything comes from him. And they know that their life and their holiness and everything else that they have comes from God. And so they bow in worship and in honor before God. That's a holiness. And the holiness of God is, but what does God do with his holiness? He has all the power, all the glory. The whole universe is his. He made it. What does he do with all of that? And the answer, he creates life. He created the angels so that they could in some way share in holiness and in glory. So God is not a God whose holiness is, I've got all the holiness, I've got all the glory, and you don't. That's not God. The holiness of God is not curved in on himself. The holiness of God is what God does to share his holiness. And so God creates the angels and they share his holiness. And then God creates mankind. That's us. He creates us so that not only do we live, not only do we live and breathe and know all kinds of things and think and reason, but we are made in the image of God, and we are made to walk with God, to know him, to share in his eternity, his blessing, his love, his joy. That's holiness. And then, when God looks at Adam and Eve and sees that they have wandered off, they've deserted, they've gone over and listened to somebody else, they went and ran off to sin, what does he do? He then comes in with another layer of holiness. And this one is he sends his son into the world to bring the holiness of God and to restore holiness to us. And the angels, they're absolutely amazed. I've said this before, say it again. Say it as many times as I can while I have breath. The angels are stunned and amazed. And when they go and they sing to the shepherds, part of the reason for that is, well, they knew that the birth of Jesus was coming. They knew God was sending his son. They knew God was stepping into the world. But to do it that way, in a stable, laid in a manger, straw and livestock and smells, and it's not too clean, and this is how God comes into the world, they're absolutely amazed. What can they do but sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." So, the holiness of God. And with all of God's holiness, well, the angels are calling out to one another, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And it says, "The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." So what's Isaiah to do? Caught up in the middle of that, because you see, the question comes to us, because we are brought into the presence of God, the presence of the holy God. What do we do in the presence of his holiness? We're here on a Sunday morning. What do we do? You know what Isaiah did? Here's Isaiah. "And I said, woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." That's Isaiah. And there is room and there is time to stand in awe and to have some good, healthy fear of the Lord in us. Because, yeah, Isaiah is right. His description of himself fits me as well. "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." And that description is fitting for you as well. You each are of unclean lips and living among a people of unclean lips. And that second song we sang, Kyrie, Kyrie eleison, means Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Did you hear the news on Friday? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, because it's not just up there in Aurora. It's this whole human race. Lord have mercy. We are a sinful people, and we live among a sinful people. And that is the situation of our race. And what kind of darkness is there in the soul that leads somebody to that extreme? And the examples are there all over the place, all over the world. Lord, have mercy. And I did not realize this, but Friday was another anniversary of something else that happened on February 15th. And it's just a handful of years ago. It's now being called the Day of the 21 Martyrs of Libya. I don't know if you remember this. Some years back, there was this group, ISIS, that had taken over large parts of Libya. And on February 15th, they marched 21 people out to the seashore, 20 of them Christians, and one of them who was a worshiper of various gods. And each of them, they said, "Will you renounce Jesus? Will you renounce your faith?" And each of them said, "No." And each of the first 20 were put to death. And they came to the 21st, who was a worshiper of other gods. And they asked him, "Will you renounce your faith?" Actually, technically, he did. What he said was, he said, "Their God is my God." And became a Christian and a martyr. And we're talking about blessings and curses and what God does, what God did for them on the shore in Libya that day is he took the curse and he pushed it to the side. The curse was supposed to hold sway that day, wasn't it? But we're dealing with God who brings the blessing. And for them that day, they had the blessing of eternal life, of seeing God face to face. And very significantly, for that one, of coming into the blessing and then receiving the full blessing that day. Quite an amazing thing. But this is what God does. And Isaiah, who stands there in the temple that day and says, "Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips." What happens next? This is the part that growing up, and I heard this lesson time after time growing up in church, and it wasn't until sometime later on that I learned what this was all about, actually. And then it hit me. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth. Those of you who do cookouts and you have the coals on the grill, what are those coals made of? Wood. And what does wood call us to remember? The cross of Jesus. Sometimes when you don't get it and you're wondering, what's this about? God has to take wood, somebody called it, take a 2x4, and hit you in the head with it. Okay? So, there's the wood of the cross. What? There's the wood of the cross touching Isaiah's lips? The wood of the cross being put on his lips? Is that good enough? No! God has to hit him over the head with it again. Where's the coal come from? Comes from the altar. What's an altar for? It's for sacrifice. What is the sacrifice about? The cross. What a sweet call to prophecy. God put the cross on Isaiah's lips, and there is nothing else that he's going to go on and speak about then. It's all about the cross, all about the cross of Jesus. Yesterday, I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I speed read through the Bible, through the whole Old Testament, and every time it came up that there was a reference to the cross, and I did this, oh. Yeah, by the time I was well into this, going like that over and over, I'd need medical attention. Because it is all through. This is the whole sermon. From the beginning, with God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what's he telling about? The seed of the woman who will come to win the victory. And that seed of the woman, Jesus, he will be wounded in that battle. And what's that about? Oh, that's the cross. And on and on and on it goes. So you have Isaiah before, woe to me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah afterward, the cross on his lips. And there's blessing for the whole world in that cross on his lips. Wow. You realize there's more. And he said to me, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Okay. There's more. But, see, that cross is all that we have to preach to a world that is lost, a world that is groping around trying to find some way of finding God, some way of turning away from sin, some way of improving the sinner. Oh, by the way, when you improve a sinner, you know what you get? You get an improved sinner. But along comes Jesus, who does this thing, taking the curse and carrying it. He doesn't just push it to the side and say, let's not look at that. He deals with it. He takes the full measure of the judgment in his own flesh, and he carries it to the cross. He takes the full uncleanness in himself, carries it to the cross. And this is God's holiness. The holiness of God is what he does to remove the sin and give us his own holiness, so that you and I, sinners though we are, can be clothed and filled and wrapped around with the holiness of Jesus Christ himself. And being clothed with that holiness, then we can be in the presence of God. And sinners can come into the presence of the holy God and find that God is merciful and loving and forgiving, and he blesses and he gives holiness. And this is our Jesus. Well, Isaiah's been called to preach. He's got the cross on his lips. And here's the little more. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I blurted out, it says, then I said, here am I, send me. He cannot hold it back. Because when the cross is there and your sins are forgiven, and now you can be in the presence of God, and now you can have God's love and his grace and his mercy, and now all of the sorrow, God brings joy. All of the death in us, God brings life. All of the curses we earned, God brings the blessings. And when that happens, it's hard to keep this message of the cross inside. We've been forgiven, set free. Now, don't tell anyone. It doesn't work. How many times in the New Testament after the resurrection of Jesus were the disciples told, now don't tell anyone? The ruling council, and on and on and on it went. And they couldn't stop. Because this is the Word of God that actually brings life. And when God brings blessings in this way, He brings a blessing that is not just for today because things are going fine, and it is not necessarily for this life because this life is a good life, no. Things we have in this life may not be good, but this is a blessing that is in the face of everything that would separate us from God. It is in the face of everything that would call to memory our sin. It is in the face of all of the sorrows and all of the disappointments of this life, because God will come with His blessings, and He will keep coming with His blessings till He gives the full measure of those blessings. And that's Christianity. In Jesus' name, Amen.